want you to take your Bibles and go with us to the book of Philippians in chapter number 4. The book of Philippians in chapter number 4 is where we will begin our reading and preaching out of tonight. Last week we began to look at the subject that is an overlooked subject many times in our Christian life, but it should be one of the most simple and essential aspects of the Christian life. That is the subject and the aspect of prayer in the life of the child of God. As I read and begin to study my Bible on the subject of prayer and praying, and not just studying for this particular series of messages, but as I've read my Bible through over and over and over and over again through the years, I am more and more convinced that Bible praying, as we find it in Scripture, is not what many people have been led to believe that prayer is. Prayer is not some dead liturgy that is just recited, some oratory masterpiece where you've got to have big, long 75-cent words to get a hold of God. Prayer in its basis form is simply contact with the Lord. Prayer should be a highly practical part of the Christian walk. When I say practical, it's not something super deep. It's not something that you got to have a doctorate degree to figure out. Prayer to the child of God should be just as natural as breathing is to the body. Should be just as natural as taking a deep breath and releasing it and taking another deep breath. It's not something you really think about. It's not something that is breathing. You don't even just think about it. Just doing it. Why? It's natural. It's part of life. As a Christian, prayer should be that way in your life.
Amen.
Prayer should be a natural thing if you're a born-again child of God. Matter of fact, according to the Scripture, when you got saved, God put something inside of you that begins to call back out from the world that it came from. Yeah. Bible said we've received the spirit of adoption. We've got the Spirit of God now that lives in us, and that Spirit didn't come from this world, it came from that world. And that Spirit will begin to prompt you to call out, not in this world, but call out to a God in another world this evening. Let's read just a couple of verses of Scripture here. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men in the Bible that could give us a thought and a dissertation about prayer. Watch what he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Tonight, I want to preach on practical praying. Last week, we preached about persistent praying, being persistent in our prayer life, praying even when the answer doesn't come that we want, or praying till God does give us an answer of peace or an answer one way or the other, regardless of what it is. But tonight we're going to look at practical praying, just being real practical when it comes to our prayer life. Say, "Preacher, why would you talk about something so basic?" Well, as basic and as just elementary as this is, it seems like so many Christians, it either goes over their head or under their feet, because either one, they do so little of it. Or two, I found this, that I talk with Christians sometimes and they say this statement. They say, "Preacher, I don't even know how to pray. Preacher, I listen to this lady pray and I wish I could pray like her. I listen to this guy pray and I wish I prayed like him." Can I say tonight, prayer should be something that is very, very practical in all of our lives. It's not just reserved for the preacher. It's not just reserved for the Sunday school teacher. But every one of us that name the name of Christ should have an intimate prayer life and time with the Lord tonight. In the text, let me just give you this in the text, and then we'll get to the message tonight about this practical prayer. In the text, we find several things about prayer. What is prayer in the text? Well, the first thing we find is prayer is a cure for worry. Prayer is a cure for worry. Did you notice the first thing he said in verse number 6? He said, be careful. The word careful in the text is not like when we say, hey, be careful now. When we say that, we're talking about, you know, be on guard. Watch what you're doing. Pay attention. But the word careful in the text, literally, it's two words put together. Careful. Full of cares. Full of things that distress you, worry you, bother you, cause you to be anxious or have anxiety. He says, be careful. Watch this. For nothing. You can't worry about it and pray about it at the same time.
Yes, sir, you're right.
Do you notice what he said the very next step of verse 6? Be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about anything, but this is what you should do with your care. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It was Peter that said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where my life can get real full of cares. Real full of got this to do or that to do, got this to pay or that to pay, got this situation to deal with or that to deal with, got this problem with children or that problem with children, got this issue with this people or that. There's just a whole lot of things that can distress, worry you, and cause you to have anxiety to the point where you run to the doctor, get a handful of pills to have to take them because you're just constantly burdened down in your mind.
Right.
And according to Paul, the remedy and the recipe for having this anxiety, for having this anxious spirit, for being full of care is go pray about it. I'm giving you some practical information here that I found to be true in my life. That anytime, Brother Cliff, that I'm super bothered, concerned, or worried about an issue, if I will just get out by myself, find a quiet place with just me and the Lord, and begin to pour my heart out to Him about what it is that is burdening me down, I always find that when I get up and I'm done praying, that is the best medicine that any doctor could ever prescribe. There is something supernatural about when you make contact with the third heaven with your cares and you just pour your heart out to God.
Amen.
That's it. It really is. I'm telling you, there's something in prayer that is, it's on not just a spiritual level, but an emotional level. Do you not think that the God that put you together knows about your psychological state? Of course He does. He made emotions. He made the psychosis. He made the synapses of the brains. He knows about all of that. And I'm telling you, there's not just something spiritual. There is something psychological that happens when you call on a thrice holy God that's a lot bigger than you are and just throw it all on Him. It's a transfer. It's a shift of the weight. It's you come to God with all this and say, I just can't carry this here. Now I'm letting you carry it.
Amen.
We see that prayer is a cure for worry. I find it very hard to continue worrying about something that I've already talked with God about. I find it also to be very hypocritical for me to continue to worry about it if I've asked God to do something about it.
Right.
I do. I almost feel like a hypocrite getting up and continue to be burdened in my mind and super worried about something after I've given it to God and said, now, Lord, I need your help. I almost find when I go back to worrying about it, I almost hear the still small voice of the Lord saying, why are you still worried about that? I thought you was going to let me deal with that. You're right. So we find prayer is a cure for worry. We also find simply that prayer is contact with God. Watch what he said right here in the text. Not only be careful for nothing, but and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be, watch the contact with God, made known unto God. You say, preacher, doesn't God already know? Does God not already know about my requests before I even mention them? Sure he does. But he wants contact and fellowship from his people. There is something in the nature of God that God, you realize God has personality too. You read this Bible, God's got personality.
Yes,
You realize there's something in the nature of God that he likes to hear his people verbalize their requests to him. I will say this, I've done all kind of different praying. Throughout your Christian life, you're going to experiment with all types of praying. Praying without saying anything. Praying out loud. All kind of different forms and ways to pray. But can I say, I will say this, there is something that is also super unique when you pray and you do it audibly. Most of my praying, when I come pray in the sanctuary, in my office by myself, a lot of that is done in an audible way, out loud. You say, isn't that psychotic to talk out loud? No, it's not. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. Try it sometime. Try it sometime. I know a lot of times a lot of people's prayer life is spent not making a sound. And you can pray that way. I know you can. The Bible talks about the prayers that are made just in the heart. That's fine. Sometimes the situation necessitates that you pray silently without anything being heard. But I'm telling you, there is something remarkable when you start opening your mouth and calling on God audibly. Try it sometime. I'm just talking about something that works for me, and I've found that it's a blessing. It's a cure for worry. Prayer's contact with God. Prayer calms our hearts. Watch what he says after you've been careful for nothing, but you've presented your requests and your petitions. Now watch what happens in verse 7. Watch what happens in verse 7 because of this transfer. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here we find the last step in this practical praying as far as what it does for us. It gives us a calm in our hearts. It's impossible for a child of God to have a calm and a peace in his heart if he has not first presented it to God. Right. When you present your request and petition to God, then God in turn gives something back. It's a two-way flow. Something goes this way, which is care, worry, petition, thanksgiving, praise, request. But coming the other way is the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Yes, sir.
You realize something about peace in the child of God's life? As a child of God, it is possible, don't miss this tonight, it is possible to have the peace with God and not have the peace of God. Yes, I know a lot of Christians that have peace with God, but no peace of God. You say, what's the difference? Peace with God come from Jesus Christ when you got born again. The Bible said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace with God and nothing can ever change that. Because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary for me, because of faith and trust in that, I now have peace with God. But peace of God, that's a different story. Peace of God only comes when you begin to yield your way to his way. When you begin to call on him through the avenue and area of prayer, then God gives a different kind of peace. A peace for living. A peace for dealing with burdens and storms and problems and circumstances tonight. So let me just give you three things real quickly. That's just the introduction on this text. Let me just give you three things real quickly on what is and what is so practical about prayer. God makes it so very practical that we can grab a hold of it. Why is prayer so practical? Let me say, number one, it's practical because we're related. It's practical because I'm related to God. As a Christian, I have a relation with him, a blood relationship tonight. He made it practical like this. I'm related to him in all kind of different ways. Can I show you several of them here real quick? I'm related to him in that he is my father tonight. If you sit here tonight and you say, preacher, I find it difficult to pray because I just don't know what to say when I go to God. Have you ever talked to your father? Your earthly father. Have you ever talked to your mother? There you go. Do you find it strained if you have a good relationship with your daddy or your mama that when you pick up the phone and call them, do you find it strained to say, no, you just talk to them? Why? You have a relationship. God made it so practical that he said this, that he sent forth the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Not just Father, but Abba, Father tonight. Brother Carl, that term Abba, Father, that is a more deeply personal term. It's like saying Daddy. I don't call my earthly father, I don't call him Father. I call him Daddy. My wife calls her daddy Diddy. I call my daddy D-A-D-D-Y. She calls her daddy D-I-D-D-Y. Diddy. Whatever that is. And according to Romans 8:15, that's similarly the way it is with our Father. He's not just Father. He's Abba Father. Somebody said that's like Papa Father, Papa Daddy. It's closeness. It's real tight-knit relation this evening. Do you realize something about the Christian walk when it comes to prayer, as far as you talking to God? Prayer should grow. Your communication with God should grow, just like your children's communication with you have grown as they've gotten older. So my children, they're getting old enough now to where our conversations are actually legitimate conversations. I mean, we sit around the dinner table today, and this is the way Sunday afternoon normally goes. Sunday afternoon at my house, it's just been talking and laughing and joking. And I mean, they're now on a wavelength, Brother Randy, to where they crack adult-type jokes. I mean, it's really a blast to be around them. I remember, though, when they was just starting to come up, when they first started to learn to talk, this was the communication. Come here, baby. Come here, sweetheart. Dad, mama. It is just real basic. It's just real simple. There's no real fellowship. There's no real communication. That's the way beginning Christian life stages works. It's real basic. It's real primitive, if you will. But listen to me. If you've been saved 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I hope your prayer life has developed to a point where God has fellowship with you. To where even, I'll tell you this, I look now at things I pray about and pray for. I would have never even thought to pray about them or pray for them 17, 18, 19 years ago when I was a young Christian. My walk with God has developed and progressed to a place where I have matured in my Christian life. And the Bible tells us that we are to mature as children of God. You should get the place where you mature enough to where even the things you request and petition God for changes with maturity.
Amen.
It ought not to stay the same. It's practical because he's our Father. Can I say it's practical because he is also fraternal? The word fraternal just simply means we're brothers. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that he's the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Do you realize tonight if you're saved, Jesus Christ is your elder brother?
Yep, elder brother.
The Bible said, beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I am now one of God's children. I'm in the family. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, and he's the firstborn in this family that I'm in. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You got a brother or a sister in the flesh that you're really close to? That's talking to God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir. I'm talking about, you know how you talk to them, how unstrained it is? Come to Jesus Christ and tell him anything. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
That's why, let me say this as well. That's why all of our prayers, when you read the New Testament, all of our prayers go to God, but it goes through Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. He's our advocate. We go through. That's why all of our prayers end in Jesus' name. We pray, we come to God in the name of Jesus. We end our prayers in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the name that gets God's attention.
Right.
Not my name, not your name. It's his name.
Right.
It's practical because we're related. He's my Father. We're fraternal. We're family. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 22 to 32 gives us the picture that the husband and wife relationship is a picture of Christ and the church. There's nothing I wouldn't tell my wife. There's nothing she won't tell me. I'll talk to her about things I won't talk to anyone else about.
Exactly right.
When it comes to your prayer life, you should be able to talk to God like that.
Yes. Amen.
Nothing that you wouldn't tell him. He knows anyways, you might as well go ahead and tell him.
That's exactly right. He knows him all.
Nothing that he can't tell you if he so desired to. Are you that in tune where not only you can tell him something, but you got enough discernment you can hear when he tells you something tonight? And then he's not just father, fraternal, and family. See, some of y'all sitting here tonight, you say, that practical relationship really doesn't do anything in my world because my father, my parents, I ain't got no relationship with them. I got an ex and I'm divorced. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, something everybody's got. Everybody's got a friend.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 15, greater love hath no man this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. He said, I've called you my friends. He's your friend this evening. Do you have a friend?
Yeah.
Do you know what it's like to text a friend, talk to a friend, call a friend, tell a friend what's going on? Everybody knows what that's like. Transfer that into your prayer life. Lord, this is what's going on in my life today. God, I'm telling you, this is the issue. This is the problem. Lord, I can't deal with that person no more. Lord, you know what that person said. Father, these people over here, they need help. And God, I'm asking you, can you understand just that concept? It's practical. I think sometimes we make prayer so mystical and so elusive that we can't get a hold of it. It's not. Make it practical in your life. Should be a part of who you are. Prayer is practical because we're related. Can I say this? Not only prayer is practical because of relation, but prayer is practical because of requesting. Because we just simply make requests. Have you ever asked anyone for anything? Don't tell me you can't pray if you have ever asked a soul for anything. You got no problem asking certain people for certain things. And if you can ask people for things, you can talk to God.
Yes, sir.
Watch what he says in verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. He said, careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Watch the request. Let your request be made known to God. What is it that you need tonight? Make a request. When you come to God and you start praying, there are two types of requests. There are one, requests for self. Lord, I need help to be the daddy that I need to be. God, I messed up yesterday. I'm asking for cleansing. I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm sorry I messed up. Lord, I knew I shouldn't have said that when I said it. God, make me a better husband. I need to be a better husband to my wife. Lord, make me a better wife to my husband. Father, I need a touch from heaven. I need more power in my life. Make me a blessing to someone. I'm just talking about requests. Don't you need anything? People that act like they don't know how to pray strike me this way, that you're a person that don't need nothing. You know one reason I pray? I'm a needy sucker.
Yes, sir.
Well, you'll talk about somebody needy. Ask my wife how needy Cody Zorn is. Marcia, you didn't have to laugh at that. Might get your wife under control over there, huh? I'm telling you, man, I'll admit it. My wife has spoiled me. She's messed me all up. God forbid Tristan Zorn ever bounces on me and somebody else has to ever put up with me. It'll never work. She's ruined me forever. It'll never work. I'm messed up from the floor up. Just the other night, who said you? Just at this point right here, just everybody don't say nothing, all right? Need nothing else from the peanut gallery. At this point, just listen. We'll get back to something you can say amen about in just a minute. I was sitting on the sofa just last night, and I had already made two or three requests for something. And finally, the last thing I made a request for last night was, hey, baby, we got any ice cream? There's nothing better than the end of the day with a good bowl of ice cream. She made me some ice cream, put some chocolate syrup on it, and she walked over and she handed it to me. She said, you know something? I said, what? I thought she was going to tell me how wonderful I was. She said, you're really needy. Well, it is what it is. I'm sorry. You know why I pray a lot? I need a lot. There's nothing wrong with that. He says he wants us to call on him.
Yes.
You telling me that you're a group of people sitting here tonight that you don't need nothing? God bless your heart. I need a whole lot. I keep coming. I keep calling. I keep petitioning. I keep requesting. I need a lot of help, God.
Amen.
And it ain't just requests for self. It should also be requests for others. Do you not have a burden for anyone tonight? Are you telling me that you sit here tonight and there's no real compulsion in your life to pray because you have absolutely no burden for anyone but you? Are you telling me you are so unconcerned in this matter of prayer that there is no one you can think of right now that's going to hell that you don't need to pray for? That there is no one that's sick or got a need or got a burden that you wouldn't help shoulder with them? That's part of prayer, and it's just so practical like this. God, you know brother so-and-so down there. Father, I'm burdened about this thing for him. Lord, I'm hurting with him. God, would you just help him? Lord, I'll be honest with you. There are so many times and things I pray, I just say, Lord, I don't even know what to ask for when it comes to this. I don't know how to help him. I don't know how you can help him. But Lord, you know, so I'm just asking you to do so. Prayers for yourself. Prayers for others. Requests. God said he wants us to request to him. He delights in giving good gifts to his children tonight.
Yes, he does.
Thank you, God. I got to hurry and close here. We not only see prayer is practical because of our relation. Prayer is practical because of our request. It's just so very practical. Just, God, this is it. Here's my request. And then prayer, and let me say this about requests, and as it relates to prayer, something I said early in the message about prayer not having to be some high-minded oratory speech. Some of y'all sit there and you think, man, what if I say the wrong words? What if I this? What does it matter? What does it matter? It's just you and God talking. He ain't telling nobody.
Right.
So you mess up. So you say something wrong. What does it matter? It's just you and him talking. Talk on. He don't care. He just wants to talk to you. I read, talking about requests and simple requests. I read so many simple requests through the Bible. I read where Hannah had a simple request about a child. Read 1 Samuel chapter 1. That's just the simplest little old country hick prayer. She's praying, Lord, I wish you'd regard the low estate of your handmaiden, and I just sure want a child. I mean, just the simplest little old nothing request, and God listens and answers it. I read where Elijah's standing on top of Mount Carmel, and he's going to pray down fire. But when he prays down fire, it ain't like what most people think it would be. He prays just a few little old simple words, asking God to hear him and God to do something, and God does it. It doesn't have to be some big high-minded idea. Just spend some time with God.
Amen.
Spend some time with him. Can I say another R word on this that's not in my notes? Not only relationship, we pray practically because of a relation, we're related to him, and because of request. But listen to me, when you go to pray, don't rush. Now I know sometimes the situation dictates it's going to be a quick prayer. But you ought to set aside some time sometime where you can just spend some time with God, where it ain't no time limit on it. Lord, I'm sitting listening, and I'm talking too. We're going to have dialogue. You ever pray a little bit and then just stop and listen? You want to really get some prayer going? Do that.
Amen.
You know why some people only do all the talking when they're praying? Because they don't want to hear what God's got to say. You say, oh, God wouldn't say nothing. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's been some times I've been praying, I've just shut up, and I've asked the Lord about something or talked to the Lord about something. I said, all right, Lord, let me just sit here for a minute. I'm telling you, down inside of my spirit, the Lord goes to speaking.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And it ain't always the kind of stuff that I wanted to hear.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Amen. I think some people don't want to hear what God's got to say because they know what he's going to say. We see not only prayer is practical because we are related. Prayer is practical because of our request. But then lastly, it's in the text, we find prayer is practical because we rejoice, because of our rejoicing. Watch what he says. This should be an absolutely key element to prayer. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing but in everything. You should take everything to God. Let me just pause here before I get to the last part here. You say, preacher, that's too little of a thing to talk to God about. Nothing's too little to talk to God about.
That's right.
Nothing's too big, nothing's too little. Take everything to Him. Talk to Him about it all. You're going to make a life decision. You're going to buy a car. You're going to buy a house. You're going to do this. You're going to just talk to Him about it. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, but watch, here's some glue that holds the prayer, the supplications, and the requests together. Watch what He throws in there. Something needs to be mixed with it. With thanksgiving. Don't just pray and supplicate and request. You got to throw some thanksgiving in with it. Just like I said a minute ago, when it comes to prayer, are you telling me that you have nothing to ask for and you have no one to request anything for? Let me say this on this. Are you telling me that you don't ever pray because you have nothing to thank God for? Are you telling me that you didn't talk to God any this past week? Evidently, that means God ain't done nothing for you. Because a big element of prayer is thanking God for what He has done. Thanking God for who He is.
That's right.
Are you telling me God ain't done nothing for you this past week? Man, He's done so much for me, I don't got enough time to thank Him for all of it. I try and make a habit in my prayer time that before I ever ask God for anything, I thank Him for things He's already done.
Yep.
I have found that the greatest way for my children to get my ear if they want something, Brother Chad, is for them to thank me for something first. Butter me up always works good.
Yes, sir.
He's a father. I'm a father. I know if they'll butter me up a little bit, that helps my heart before they ever ask for anything. I want to know you thankful for what I've already give you before you go to asking for more.
Amen.
I try and be real careful when I've been praying about something and God does it to make sure that I tell the Lord multiple times, Lord, I want You to know I recognize You answered that prayer and I appreciate it. I don't ever want God to answer one of my prayers, Brother Gary, and then I never say thank You for it.
Yes.
I have thanked God multiple times for you. We pray and pray for Brother Gary, pray and pray for Brother Fred, pray for others that God's touching here. You know what I want to make sure I do, Lord? Thank You for what You've done in their life. Why? I want Him to keep answering other prayers. These last three Sundays, I begged God, Lord, we gone for a little dry spell, a month or two, and ain't seen nobody saved. God, I don't like that. Some churches go for years and never see nobody saved. They seem like they're all right with it. I ain't cool with that. Brother, I want God to save people.
Amen.
God saved folks these last three Sundays. I want to make sure I'm constantly telling, Lord, thank You for that.
Amen.
We appreciate it.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. I'm not doing damage to the scripture, but as I read my scripture, can I also say this? I believe one reason we have not is because we thank not.
Right.
It's not just we have not because we ask not. We have not because we thank not.
Right.
You know why some of y'all don't got some of the burdens, the requests, the petitions you'd like to have? You ain't ever thanked God for what He's already done for you. Maybe what we ought to do tonight before we ever was to ask God for anything in our prayer life is just catch up on saying, thank You. Thank You for being good to my family. Thank You for being good, giving me that job that I asked You for that now I complain about. Lord, thank You so much for the money in my pocket. Thank You so much, God, for health. And God, thank You so much for a good church. And thank You for what You've done, them souls getting saved. Lord, just thank You tonight. Somebody said this, and it's the God's honest truth. They said, if tomorrow God only gave you what you thanked Him for yesterday, would you have anything? Well, that's a sobering thought, ain't it? I want to make sure that I'm following the pattern of practical praying when it comes to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I'm telling y'all, some of y'all think that I'm just talking and preaching. I ain't. I'm telling you, most of what happens around this place is a product of people praying.
Yes, sir. Oh,
It absolutely is. It is a product that people pray. I truly believe if we'll keep praying, God will keep moving. Esther, help me over here on the pen. I don't always give an altar call on Sunday night, but I'm going to. Because I just feel maybe we ought to just say thank you. Not necessarily ask for anything, just say thank you. Maybe tonight, your personal prayer has been seriously lacking. Maybe tonight you just like get an altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry for not taking advantage of prayer like I should have. And God, tonight, help me to be a more effective prayer warrior. Praying for my family, for my children. Hey, let me ask you this, mom and daddy, if you don't pray for your children, who's gonna? Who's gonna? If you don't pray for them, is anyone praying for them? I doubt it. Boy, that thought scares me. That thought scares me that if me and my wife don't pray for Esther, Abigail, Cody, and Charity, who's gonna pray for them? Brother Joe, I know them two little baby girls that God has let y'all start bringing to church, and two grandbabies. The fact is, if y'all ain't praying for them, I know their people sure ain't praying for them. And there's grandmas and papas and mamas and daddies just like me and Brother Joe and others around here. If you don't pray for your babies, nobody else is gonna. Your children deserve to have somebody praying for them. Your family deserves somebody calling on God and asking to touch them and use them. Prayer is practical tonight. Sing, Esther, we're going to go.